And welcome back to Dads on the Air, coming to you around Australia on the Community Radio Network. In this program, we bring you informing and entertaining conversations with a wide range of interesting people on topics of fatherhood, family and parenting, men's and boys' issues. Hi, I'm Bill Cable, and with me in the studio today is Ken Thompson. And it is with great pleasure that I introduce our guest today, Warwick Marsh. Warwick has been a great supporter of Dads on the Air going back many years. He has been on the show more times than anybody else. And Warwick, as you may know, is a public speaker. He's a writer, a musician, a minister, a producer, a TV director, and most importantly, he's co-founder and president of Dads for Kids Fatherhood Foundation. Warwick, welcome to the program.
It's fantastic to be with you, and yes, it's a great joy to be on Dads on the Air again.
So, Warwick, Fatherhood Foundation, Dads for Kids, I wonder if you could tell us a little bit about what it is and what it does.
Sometimes we feel like we're just chipping away at a mountain, you know, at the bottom with a little toothpick, you know. We're really trying to turn the tide of fatherlessness in our nation, which fatherlessness seems to be a peculiar epidemic in the Western nations. And, you know, it's got many facets to it. There's not one thing that's feeding it. I mean, the family law court, which, you know, the bias against men in the family law court is a massive feeder to fatherlessness in our nation. It's not the only feeder. Your own selfishness, materialism, you know, lack of priority for families, priority for relationships, the marriage breakdown rate, you know, the whole issue of the epidemic of porn, which creates a selfish sort of me-centered society. Things that actually cut into it, but our job is to turn the tide, and we want to encourage dads to be the best dads they can be for their children. Of course, Father's Day is coming up, which is very, very exciting, and here we are talking to you on Dads on Air.
That's right, and but you just mentioned then the bias against fathers in the family court, and that's something that you hear mentioned from time to time. Do you have real evidence of that?
First of all, I've got no axe to grind because my wife's put up with me now for over 40 years, be 41 years on the 29th of November.
Congratulations in advance.
Yeah, thank you very much. It's very kind of you. We've got 5 children and 7 grandchildren. So I haven't been through the family law court, and so I've got no axe to grind. I think I can be impartial, but I think it's horrendous. I think the whole system is horrendous. There needs to be a royal commission into the family law court, and it needs to be completely changed. But look, the bottom line is, yes, there is a bias against men, and I can say that because I've talked to thousands of men all over Australia, and they are not coordinated in the sense that they're all individual lives, individual stories, and, you know, I've heard so many tales of heartbreak. Now, I've even heard tales of heartbreak with women too, so those injustices aren't just towards men, but probably 80-90% of the time, the men are the ones that suffer, and of course the children are left without a father or a father's involvement in their lives, which is incredibly, incredibly sad.
The Fatherhood Foundation has been going for many years. How many years, and how did it all get started?
Well, thanks, Bill. 2002 we kicked off, and we've been running a weekly newsletter ever since then, which goes out to dads all over Australia. I guess it started because I grew up in a home that was pretty smashed around and had a great dad and a great mum, but they just couldn't get on. And I found out later I probably got abducted a couple of times to Scotland when I was, you know, 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 years of age. And dad would come home sometimes, and mum would just taken us and run off to Cobar once, I can remember. We went on this long journey in a train, and I thought we were just going out to the country, but mum had actually taken us, and dad didn't know where we were, you know. And so these sort of stories that Ken's been through, you've probably experienced different things, I think, Bill, but similar heartbreak, have happened. And I almost got put in a home when I was 8, 9 years of age. I had the welfare people come along to the school, and my brother and I were called into the principal's office and said, we're going to put you in a home and take you away from your dad. And we just cried and cried and cried for 2 hours. And because of our loud voices and our long tears, they relented. I'm sure if we'd been put in a home, we would never have seen our father again. Mm. And I think a lot of children, maybe not put in homes as such, but they're put in places they don't want to be and forced into situations they don't want to be forced into. And that's why I'm so passionate to help dads and to encourage dads and to inspire dads, but also speak up against the injustices that they do face in the system, in the court system, in the family law court system, and in broader society.
After that tough upbringing that you described very briefly there, you actually went into business and made a successful construction business, and then that got knocked out from under your feet, and then you, with a lot of resilience, you started up again. Perhaps it all toughened you, do you think?
Look, it does, and certainly when you lose everything, you certainly find out who your friends are. And it took me many years to sort of, quite a few years to recover, I might add, from we lost our business in 84 in the recession we had to have. And, you know, ultimately, you know, I've got to allow for my own stupidity in that. I can't blame just the market conditions. We were paying about 22% interest, 22% interest at the bank. Mind you, that didn't really help. But, you know, when they had 3 months of wet weather, et cetera, as a builder, it's pretty hard to withstand. But you have to admit your own stupidity. And I learn, and you learn from your mistakes, and you pick yourselves up, and you run again. And I was doing fit-outs in the late 90s. And then in 1990, my background's music. I love music. And we decided we wanted to go around Australia, and I thought we'd take my musical instruments. My son was playing drums. He was 10 years of age at the time. And so we set off on this magical mystery tour around Australia. And we haven't stopped for 26 years. Now, the family is not playing music. I'm not playing music with the family anymore, which is, of course, pretty sad, but that's just the reality of children growing up. But we are making a stand for family, and we are encouraging family. So I guess the dream still lives on, even if we're not playing the music we love to play.
Well, a big part of that, of course, has been your wonderful wife, Alison, and she's been there, as you said, for something over 40 years. And I guess, is she still part of the band?
You know, we do play from time to time, you know, probably get together once a year and maybe, you know, just do a concert for a drug rehabilitation centre or something like that. My wife plays keyboards, and honestly, I'm glad you mentioned Alison, because honestly, without Alison, I could not run Dads for Kids. And many late nights, we're here on 12 o'clock on a Saturday night, as we were last Saturday, and, you know, she's doing that for men. The Dads for Kids newsletter is for men, and of course, we carry information about men, men's health, dads, fathers, single dads, and it goes out to several thousand dads each week across Australia, and we know it saved many lives. And without Alison, Alison's help and Alison's sacrifice, I'd have nothing. So I've always said that she's a sort of founder with us, and she's really carried Dads for Kids and really carries a heart for the men of Australia. And the most powerful advocates we can have are women. And so Alison's help has been enormous, and thank you for mentioning her.
Yes, I sometimes think hearing a woman's voice carries a bit more weight than men, who can sometimes be dismissed as just whining dads or whatever.
Correct.
Warwick, we're going to take a short break now. We're just going to play a song that's, I think, on the topic, and I think it's one you happen to like. It's called The Living Years by Mike and the Mechanics.
You hear, yeah. It's too just wish I could have told him in the living years. So say, say, say it loud.
Say it clear.
Oh, say it clear.
Who can hear
as well as you hear?
We're back with Dad's on the Air.
And that was The Living Years by Mike and Mechanics. And we're talking today with Warwick Marsh. Warwick is a public speaker. He's a writer, musician, minister, producer, and many other hats. And in particular, we're interested in talking to Warwick because we're coming up to Father's Day. And Warwick has been a tireless champion of fathers and promoting Father's Day. So, Warwick, I wonder if you could tell us a bit about Father's Day for this year.
Look, Father's Day for me, with Dads for Kids, Father Foundation, is the big, big, big event of the year. So we put a lot of effort into it for 100 different reasons. And I'm very excited to tell you that Channel 7 nationally and Prime 7 are playing our new Dads for Kids ads for Father's Day, which will go all year round, by the way. That's the beauty of them. We try to do them to make the ads so that they are sort of something that can be seen not just before Father's Day but after Father's Day, and will encourage dads and families and children. The message is very simple: love your children. I mean, it doesn't get any easier and perhaps any harder, as that song Mike and the Mechanics alludes to, because there is a challenge for some reason, and we as dads have to overcome that challenge, and we have our own disappointments with our own father. And we have to forgive and make amends and make allowances for our own father, and then get on with the job of being the father we need to be for our own children, as that song so beautifully says, in the living years. So, yes, it's very exciting. Father's Day is very, very exciting for us, and we're excited by the ads. And we're also excited, too, Bill and Ken, that we've got two Indigenous dads in the 60-second ad, and we've just released a little YouTube, and I'd love if you guys can put it up on your Dads on the Air website.
It will be.
And it's it's an Indigenous father speaking out about his experience moving from Thurs Island down into Cairns. He's got a Indigenous tribal background and also Thurs Island background, and he's a true blue Aussie in 100 different ways, but he's also a passionate dad. And he also, when he was 7 years of age, he experienced the breakup of his family, which made him all the more determined to love his wife and love his kids. And he's pulled it off. It's a great little story. So we're really excited about that, Bill, and, you know, of course, 100 other things as well.
What comes out to me is the wonderful thing that you don't seem bitter at all, despite you must have your own personal experience, and you've seen a lot of things going on over the years, but you are still so full of enthusiasm. And I would recommend anybody, if you don't see it on TV, you can YouTube it, Warwick.
Yep, you can YouTube just Dads for Kids. We'll just put Dads for Kids YouTube, and you'll pick up a YouTube channel, and you'll find the latest ads up there at the top of the list. There's a 60-second and a 30-second and a 15-second, and we're releasing four stories from the four dads out of the 20 dads we've featured. We're releasing four stories over the next sort of 10 days, right up to Father's Day. So there's an Indigenous father speaking out with four children. There's a young father who's got two little ones, a little baby and a three-and-a-half-year-old. And he's a surfer, and he's a very with-it sort of guy, you know. There's another dad there that's got 10 children on a farm. He's really fantastic as well. And he's down in Victoria. And another guy in North Queensland is a typical Aussie outback dad, if there's such a thing, with four wonderful children, and he's a champion horseman. So it's going to give you a good breadth and depth, and it'll be some inspiration if you want to pick up on it in the next few days.
The video that I've seen, it's a very simple message with children just mouthing and saying the words dad, and the dad's having a role. Just more generally, what do you see the role of fathers today?
The biological reality of a father and a mother is a biological reality, and we've had this wonderful story from the former assistant opposition leader sharing his story, Anthony Albanese, of searching for his father. He was brought up by a loving mother, and thank God for his mother, and he's very thankful for his mother too, and he honoured her greatly, but he always wanted to know his father. And eventually, I'm guessing he'd be in his 50s, he finally found his father in Italy. and they've been reunited and welcomed with open arms. Anthony Albanese is much happier man today. And so, you know, fathers are important. If that story says anything, it says that fathers are important. And, of course, all the science, social sciences show that when a father's involved in the children's life, the IQ goes up, a father reads to a child. I mean, just this is an amazing fact, Bill. Sorry for getting excited, but this is an amazing fact. If a father reads to the child each night, or, you know, almost, you know, say 5 or 6 nights a week, as many nights as he can, if he reads to the child, that's equivalent to $100,000 private school education, or a couple $100,000 private school education, as far as marks and IQ goes. And so fathers involved in the children do better, they're more socially adjusted, they'll be more successful with education, they're less likely to get involved in drugs, they're less likely to go to jail, they're just going to be more successful, they'll actually be more healthy. I mean, all this is just social science. So there's the biological reality, there's the story of Anthony Albanese that shows how important dads are, and of course, Ken, I understand you've spent, you know, months, if not years, scouring the world for your little one.
Yeah.
And doesn't that tell you a story? I mean, fathers, children are important to fathers too. There's a reversal there. There's an important thing we must not forget. But children need a dad. Yes, they need a mum, and we agree that mothers provide things that a father can't. But mothers have to accept that they can't be fathers to their children, because it takes a masculine heart and a masculine presence to do that.
And do you see the role of fathers as expanding as you travel around the country?
Look, I see hopeful signs in the midst of, you know, the terrible trauma like Ken's been through, and the many men go through in the Family Law Court, and the, you know, the bias against men through the whole just domestic violence historical campaign that all men are women bashers, which of course is a total lie. In the midst of all this, I do see promising signs amongst young men who are more committed than ever before. In our ad, you'll see, when you're watching Channel 7 or you can YouTube it, Dads for Kids, you'll see that there's a number of dads there that are changing nappies. Now, I wish I'd changed more nappies when I was younger. As a dad, I did change nappies, but hey, I've got to be honest, I was pretty pathetic, really, compared with my son, Levi.
It might have been a danger to Levi with you and the safety pin, would it?
It could have been, but he's actually in the ad. I haven't been able to get my children, boys, in the ad before. Like the last ad we did, there was none of the family was involved. But Levi's changing his son Judah's nappy, and you know that just sort of shows you how. I mean, and Levi's not alone. There's many more young men who are getting much more involved with their kids at a younger age. They're getting involved changing the nappies. They're doing a whole bunch more, and I think it's very, very healthy, Bill. I don't know about you. What's your thoughts about that?
Oh, I agree. I mean, you see so many fathers playing with their kids in the park, which when I was very young, you wouldn't see. You might see mothers with the children, but yes, I do think fathers are expanding their roles, which is great.
I think it gives us hope, both of us hope, and I think, look, Dads in the Air is honestly, I'm glad we can get to this. Dads in the Air is an absolutely amazing program. I'm so glad that you and Ken are continuing this wonderful heritage, because Dads in the Air would probably be the longest fatherhood program in the world that's been going continuously that I'm aware of, number one radio program. And I would probably argue that our weekly newsletter too for dads is certainly one, if not the longest, certainly one of the longest, it's the largest in content and depth, weekly sort of emails. So Australia has actually contributed amazingly, and Dads on Air has gone right around the world. It's heard in many different countries. It's referenced in many different countries. I think it's even been referenced in parliamentary debate.
Well, thank you very much for those kind words, Warwick. And I know with your campaign, you've got a goal. You want to raise a figure. Is it $25,000 to continue these announcements?
It costs money to do this sort of stuff, and to do it really well costs more. We've been able to do it for about $23,000, and we're also one to run a competition for Father's Day through Instagram and give away $1,000. And it's not just about giving away the money, it's actually creating thousands and thousands of photo opportunities that go through the Instagram social media network. and actually create a whole wave of goodwill towards dads, and more importantly, goodwill towards our children and love towards our children. So, yes, we do need $25,000, and if there's anyone listening who wants to help, please click onto our website and make a donation. And we'd love to encourage you with our weekly email. Again, go to our website, dadsforkids.org.au, and you can connect. And, look, thanks for mentioning that. It's very, very kind of you, Bill.
Warwick, time goes so quickly, but we've reached a stage where we ask our guests if they'd like to pick a song. Would you like to tell us which song you've picked and why you picked it?
Well, this is a loaded question because you know I'm a musician, number one, and you know that I've been playing music for many years in Australia, around the world. And many years ago, I wrote a song called Hearts of the Fathers. In fact, it was the sort of arguably the title song for our double album, Fathers. And I think you've been very kind to me to allow me to introduce it. It's called Hearts of the Fathers, and it's a dream and a hope and a prayer.
In this nation, there's a cry of desperation, suicidal litigation, families crumble from within, and they don't know where they're going, and they can't see where they've been, but they know they need some changes, some changes from within, to turn the hearts of the fathers, to the hearts of the sons, to the hearts of the children. Chances with the dancing, too many fleeting glances lead to faithlessness and sin. And they don't know what they're sowing, and they don't know where they've been, but they know they need some changes, some changes.
And that was Hearts of the Fathers, sung by The Marshes from their double CD, Fathers. Don't forget, we'd love to hear from any of our listeners. You can go to our website, dadsontheair.com.au, and you can send us an email and we'll be in touch. If you'd like to listen to this show again or any of our shows, go to our website, dadsontheair.com.au, or follow us on Facebook or Twitter. So it just remains for me now to give a very special thank you to our guest today, Warwick Marsh. Warwick, thank you very much for being on the program.
It's been an absolute delight, and again, thank you, Ken. Thank you, Bill, for your incredible work. Thank God for Dads on the Air. How many lives, how many men are alive today because Dads on the Air is plugged away week after week, month after month, year after year, just speaking out. It's been a great honour and a great joy.
Thank you, Warwick, and we'll be back next week with another show on Dads on the Air.